And as always, we have our good friend, Mr. Dan Klaskins. He is of the Fantastics on Sirius XM Radio. He's got the Get Sports Info podcast, and of course, ranker and writer at Pro Football Focus Fantasy. You can find Dan at Dan Klaskins on Twitter and get all the information you need to get yourself set. And he is the expert source to go to. Dan, how are you doing this morning?
Oh, what's up, fellas? Friday, week five. I can't believe how fast this season's going.
They do fly by, don't they? I mean, week in and week out, they kind of just go short. Maybe it's because there's football almost every day of the week, or at least with the NFL between Sunday, Monday, Thursday. You kind of have that mentality going all the time, so it makes it go quicker.
Oh, yeah. I just think we're getting old, man. The older you get, the faster time goes. I think, but at the end of the day, yeah, you're right. There is not really a day off of football action. But yeah, I'm going to soak it up while we've got it. I'm not wanting to wish it away or anything.
I got the first question I'm going to ask is, and it's a quarterback-related question for this specifically for this week. And it's two key quarterbacks that generally usually rank pretty high. At least, well, this year one of them is, and that's Pat Mahomes. But he's going up against the Jacksonville defense, and one of the best he's going to be facing, if not the best he'll face all year. The other quarterback I'll throw out there is Aaron Rodgers, who, mobility-wise, seemed to be moving better last week. He seemed to be scrambling better. But target-wise, he may be in trouble because Cobb, Allison, and Adams all sat out practice yesterday, and they're all, right now, questionable even be playing. He may be going with Jimmy Graham and three rookie receivers. So where do you put Mahomes and where do you put Rodgers as far as your ability or willingness to play them?
It's funny. I got those guys one spot apart in my rankings there at Pro Football Focus right now. I mean, Mahomes, there's no doubt Jacksonville is probably one of the better defenses in this league, so it is going to be a challenge there, but I think he's up for it, Andy Reid. So I've actually got him number six in my rankings this week, which is a little bit lower than he's been in the last couple weeks, but still, I don't think he's a guy that you're going to steer away from. I like when the horse is running good, I keep riding that horse, so I'm not going to sit Patrick Mahomes unless I just have, like, you know, Matt Ryan or Cam Newton or somebody else that I feel like is better than him. But Rodgers, there's no doubt. There's a lot of questions, not just with the targets and the players around him and that offense are injured, but I'm still not sold that this guy is going to be at 100% anytime soon. So I don't think he's going to hit the ceiling that many people thought he would deliver when they spent a third, fourth round pick on him. But I've got him 6-7 in the ranks this week. So chances are, if I'm an owner of those two guys, I'm rolling them out there and, you know, just hoping for the best.
With Jameis Winston coming in at quarterback now, and you know, Fitzmagic put up pretty big numbers, how high do you have Winston rated as a quarterback?
Well, I mean, obviously Tampa Bay's on a bye this week, and I mean, talk about a team that could use a bye. I think reinstalling Winston back in there, and it was unfortunate that it just sort of ended so quickly for Fitzpatrick, but it was inevitable. But I really look at Winston and Fitzpatrick in very similar regards, at least in the way they play football. Obviously, different skill sets, different sizes, and a different level of experience. But these guys are aggressive. They are gunslingers. And here's the thing. There are so many weapons in that Tampa Bay offense. So from a fantasy perspective, there's an opportunity for success there for Winston moving forward. I think the Bucs and their offense in general, what they need to figure out is the running game, because Peyton Barber, who started the season as running back, has been so inefficient, and they're trying to get their rookie running back, Ronald Jones, more accustomed to the offense. He had a terrible summer, was just brutal in the preseason, and was inactive the first two games, but he did play against the Bears and actually had more carries. So I think if they can get that running game going, especially, that's going to open up things for the passing game, and with Mike Evans and Chris Godwin and DeSean Jackson, Cameron Brate, O.J. Howard, when he comes back from his injury, which is a 2-4 week issue. I mean, the weapons are there. So I think Jameis Winston, he's out there, and he may be in a lot of leagues, and you need a second quarterback on your roster, he's definitely worth picking up.
And I was wondering, too, with the way Atlanta's defense has been, if you'd be bullish on almost picking up any Atlanta offensive player as the season has gone along. It seems like they might have to score 35 points every week to win.
Yes, and their defense has just been wrecked by injuries, so it is unfortunate for them. But their offense, that said, is actually showing some signs of life, particularly in the red zone, which is where they have struggled so much. And the addition of Calvin Ridley, who has been very touchdown dependent, I think a lot of fantasy owners are drinking the juice on Ridley, and I do caution. I think he'll have some weeks where he won't score touchdowns because the target volume there is low. It's going to be there. But at the end of the day, His presence now, you have obviously Julio Jones, Mohamed Sanu. I think this offense is capable of putting up big points. But that said, you know, they're playing Pittsburgh this week. Both those teams are just one win. the loser of that game is facing a pretty precarious situation heading down the stretch. So I think the Falcons offense, because of, as you said, the defense is struggling there, I think they're going to continue to be fantasy producers.
I know it's too late, obviously, for this week because the game was last night, but is it time to jump on the Josh Gordon bandwagon?
Well, I think the Josh Gordon bandwagon, you've either been on or off of that already. He's one, mm-hmm. truly one of the more mystifying players in fantasy. And coming into this season, he certainly wasn't coming at a discount. You're talking about, at some point of the summer, a fourth-round pick. Then he probably slipped down as far as the sixth or seventh round later as he wasn't showing up to camp. But either way, he's definitely not out there on waiver wires. And the people that have held on to him, these are the people that have been buying into that hype. So the fact that New England was able to acquire a player of his talent for a fifth-round pick just blows my mind. But think about it from Josh Gordon's perspective away from football. You went from playing for the Cleveland Browns to the New England Patriots, and now your locker is right next to Tom Brady. I mean, this guy is set up for success. And as I've said many times, outside of fantasy, and outside, I'm not a Patriots fan. I'm sure not a Browns fan. But at the end of the day, I'm rooting for Josh Gordon to overcome his demons. And, you know, there's a lot more things about football for him. So I personally am rooting for the guy. I don't have him on many of my teams because I wasn't willing to pay that high price. But I think it's going to end up pretty well for him if he can keep his head on his shoulders.
Dan, speaking of last night's game, I want to talk about the Patriot running backs, Sony Michel and James White. And I know it's always a tough subject every year to talk about those Patriot running backs because they're so inconsistent. Bill Belichick never likes to run the ball with one single running back. But I think this year could be a little bit different. Sony Michel's looked good so far. James White has looked excellent in the passing game. How do you think that running back is going to shape out going forward?
Well, I think that everything you say there in regards to the headaches that have been Bill Belichick backfield, the injuries have taken care of that situation. Jeremy Hill was placed on IR, and then quickly following him was Rex Burkhead. So they only had two active running backs on that roster last night. So of their 53 players that they went in that game, that tells me that the Patriots are very confident in Sony Michel. And obviously the fact they drafted him with the 27th overall pick would indicate that as well. James White, you know, you look at this, all these weapons in this offense, and granted, some of them are just getting back in the mix. You got Gronkowski, you got Julian Edelman, you got Josh Gordon, you got Phil Dorsett, you got all these things that James White leads the team in targets. So I think that that role has been the most easily defined one all offseason. James White's a guy that I had about a 47% ownership share in my across my 13 season-long leagues with 6 out of 7 there. Or, excuse me, 6 out of 13 leagues I had him in because he was a double-digit round pick. So he's proven to be one of the values. But I think Sony Michel is going to continue to get it done. The volume is going to be there. He's going to score touchdowns. And if, when the dust settles, he's going to be a top 10 fantasy running back this season.
Adam Schefter reported on Sunday afternoon that Le'Veon Bell is expected to return between week 7 and 8, somewhere in that range, whenever the Steelers have their bye week coming up. How do you think that's going to shape out for Le'Veon Bell owners who are probably excited that he's coming back? But again, we don't know if he's actually fully going to get involved in that offense. But now James Conner owners are starting to get a little worried about how his value might drop if Le'Veon Bell returns. How do you think that Pittsburgh running back backfield is going to shape out going forward?
Well, I mean, my opinion on that hasn't changed. At the end of the day, Le'Veon Bell is 10 times better than James Conner, and Pittsburgh has one win right now. So even regardless how things are standing when he comes back, when Le'Veon Bell returns to the Steelers, one of two things are going to happen. They're either going to trade Le'Veon Bell to a team that's willing to sign him long-term, or they're going to play Le'Veon Bell. So James Conner's value is going to be whether or not Le'Veon Bell stands, but if both of those players remain Steelers, James Conner is going to be nothing more than a handcuff. And those that have ridden him for the first half of the season, man, I'm glad you enjoyed it, but for us Le'Veon Bell owners that have been patient out there, and I don't have a lot of Le'Veon Bell, but at the end of the day, it depends on your fantasy team. If I'm sitting at 0-4 right now and I'm a Le'Veon Bell owner, I'm a little more desperate than if I've, you know, survive the waters, and I'm sitting here 3-1, 2-2. He's going to come back. He's going to be a factor. He is still one of the top three running backs in this league, especially with his receiving skills. So hold tight. Le'Veon Bell could return. I mean, like you, I mean, I don't really know exactly when that's going to happen, but I have full confidence that the Pittsburgh Steelers aren't going to try to prove a point and sit Le'Veon Bell when they're trying to make up a few wins here in this division.
Hey, I know Tom Brady's, you know, got doing Tom Brady things again, but he has 6 interceptions this year. Does that mean anything?
Well, I mean, you got to give him a little bit of credit. I mean, it's been pretty brutal the weapons he's had available to him. Of course, Gronkowski's missed a little time. Julian Edelman suspended these four games. Josh Gordon's just now really getting into the mix. So I'm not that concerned. Tom Brady looks good to me. And I think, really, when you look at him, the biggest concern, I think, is going to be, situations where you look at the schedule. I mean, they have a very easy schedule. So there could be later times of the year where there's going to be weeks where the Patriots just don't have to throw as much because, at the end of the day, they've built these big leads. But Tom Brady is still Tom Brady, and guy that if he's my QB1, I'm feeling pretty good about.
Dan, we don't talk much about this, but the trades and people making trades within their leagues right now. Who are some guys to throw out here that you see right now that maybe you could buy low on or sell high on? Some guys might be overachieving or underachieving that might benefit me in a week or two if I get on them right now.
Yeah, I mean, well, I think there's two parts to a trade. I mean, first of all, you need to determine what your needs are. And you need to be careful, too, when you look at your roster, because bye weeks, I mean, we just had the first two teams on bye last week. And obviously this week, the Bucs and the Bears, there'll be two more. But the bye weeks are going to start piling up a little bit. So you got to be careful about how much of your depth you trade. But in terms of what you're saying, buy low and sell high, I mean, that's a little fantasy 101 there. These are guys that, you want to get them at their lowest value. That's why I have people... They have these struggling fantasy players like, oh, man, what should I do with this guy? Well, you don't want to sell him at their lowest point. Kenyon Drake right now is going to do you no good to try to trade because you'll be lucky to get, a couple pieces of gum. But I would say players at each position right now that I think, if you want a guy that I think sort of overperform and underperform, and my sell-high quarterback's Drew Brees. I think with Mark Ingram coming back, his volume is going to go down quite a bit. And I think, I'm taking a chance. We talked about Tom Brady. I mean, going into last night, he was QB19, so he's definitely a buy low guy. I think Matthew Stafford looks at that position. Running backs where it gets real interesting because I think there are several running backs that are underperforming right now. We talked Kenyon Drake. I don't know if I love him necessarily as much, but Joe Mixon coming off his injury might be out there. But Jordan Howard is a name that I hear a lot of people with trade questions out on Twitter, and I still believe he's going to be a good guy. I think game flow hasn't really played his way, but if I've got an Adrian Peterson coming off a big game, maybe he's a guy I sell. And then finally at receiver, I think when you talk about a player that's sort of playing above their heads right now, John Brown continues, and I like John Brown a lot this week, but I am not believing that this guy's going to hold up for 16 games, and I don't know if that's wrong. And Corey Davis, he maybe it was a little too late after his blow up week last week. This guy has elite talent. And until last week's blow up, he's been mostly disappointing. So maybe I'm still getting in on him before the ship sails on that.
All right. And let's go as we do every week. Let's run down those three positions, quarterback, running back, receiver. Who are some key guys that you should start and some key guys you should sit this week?
You hit a couple guys that are very interesting to me right off the top there, Randy. And that was the Patrick Mahomes question. And hey, man, you got to ride that hot hand. So I actually got him at 6, the expert consensus at Fantasy Pros, where they scored my rankings. The consensus is 10. So I think Matt Ryan is obviously another guy I really like a lot this week. I'm a little worried about Blake Bortles continuing that stuff. I know that it's the Chiefs, it's a blowout, but I just have a tough time putting him in there. I think Matthew Stafford's in trouble at quarterback this week. I'm a little reluctant on him. Like Joe Mixon coming back. If I've got Mark Ingram, I think I've waited on him to play. I think he's a good RB2 this week. Love me some Chris Thompson at running back. At running backs, I don't like as much. That list gets a little bit deeper. I mean, Jamal Williams, I don't see how you can continue to roll him out. Tevin Coleman with Devontae Freeman coming back, I'm a little skittish on him. And then wide receiver, we talked about John Brown. Really like him this week. Like him as long as he stays healthy. I think Taywan Taylor, a sleeper from Tennessee, is on the rise. I think he's going to do big things. And, man, Amari Cooper, he seems to make that list for me. But the receiver, Quincy Enunwa, he's getting targets, but he's only 8 targets in every single game, but he's only gone over 70 yards once. So I don't like him as a flex option this week in a tough, what I expect to be a tough matchup there.
All right. Great stuff again, as always, Dan. Thank you so much. He's Dan Klaskins, host of Fantastics on Sirius XM Radio. He also has the Get Sports Info podcast. Writer, ranker for Pro Football Focus Fantasy, does it all. Again, go to his Twitter site. It's at Dan Klaskins, DanClaskens, and you can get links to all the stuff he's doing and daily information from him as well. So, Dan, thanks again, and we'll talk to you next Friday.
All right. Enjoy your weekend, fellas. Good luck, and enjoy the game to all the people out there in the fantasy world.